B-Pod Studios.
.304 Mike Missanelli Show, the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show. And by the way, we're wide open, so if you have opinions on the Sixers, don't let me shout you down. If you believe they're in trouble, I'll listen to you. All right? I just have a hard time. People are freaking. Like, I'm getting emails going, well, who do you think they should play in the first round? Are you worried about, like, a guy like Trae Young, like, can give him fits, like D'Angelo Russell can give him fits? And people, you're torturing yourself. Stop torturing yourself. They're not going to lose in the first round, anybody. What, the Detroit or the Nets or anybody? Relax. They lost the game to the Hawks. One game. But if you think you're in trouble, I'm going to sit back and listen. This is my hour to listen to y'all.
That's noble of you, Mike.
Thank you.
Because I know you don't agree, but...
No, I get frustrated because the Sixers have just been through a tremendous streak of basketball where they won 6 games beating teams that were tough and beating teams that were weak. And it's like we have no memory of that at all. So, oh my God, the world's going to end. They lost to the Hawks on a Saturday night after coming off a super high after beating Boston. Happens.
You know what this is? I think this is another example of our Eagles fandom crossing over to the other sports. Because think about it. We treat every Sixers loss right. like it's an Eagles game. And we, even right. last year,
true.
We did it with the Phillies.
We get ultra worried. But see, football, with a reduced schedule, 16 games, gives you more reason to worry when you lose a game. Because you're talking about getting to a record to get you in the playoffs. One of 82 games, and the way the Sixers have been playing, if they've been playing up and down and uneven, and they lose to Atlanta, and they lost to Boston the other night, or they lost to Milwaukee, well, then I gotcha. But it's so predictable what could have happened on Saturday night on a comedown game. Now, I don't know why the line is -2 tonight. It tells me Orlando has a chance to beat them. Now, that would bother me. Bouncing off a loss to Atlanta, they should be ultra sky high to take care of this team.
I agree. The line scares me.
Yeah, so tomorrow, I'll join you.
Yeah, if they lose tonight.
Listen, I'm with you tomorrow if they lose tonight. All right, just one other thing. By the way, 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Quibbly's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie, Huggy Party cheese, every bit as good. Can you explain this commercial to me? Because at first I didn't think it was a commercial. I thought it was part of the coverage of the NCAA tournament. What is the deal with this Phil commercial? This AT&T Phil thing. Have you seen this? Phil's commentary. Let's get the Phil's commentary.
Yeah.
Well, huh?
Yeah.
Are you getting this?
Yeah, where he goes, oh, can you give a little bit on when you were a player? And he goes, oh, I can't talk about that. I'm a married man. He's like, no, when you were a basketball player. Oh, that'd be boring.
Yeah, or there's the other one where he's the color analyst and he's talking about love or something.
Yeah, hang in there.
Well, is it me?
No, I know what they were aiming for.
What were they aiming for exactly?
Saying that you need great coverage, not bad coverage, and he would be a bad color analyst, so he's giving bad game coverage, so you want good sell coverage. That's the goal. That's how it was spun. And then you had a bunch of people who don't know anything about sports who go, that's great, that's really clever, because, you know, they'll know about this. But if you had one sports fan in the room, which they clearly didn't, they would have squashed that idea. That's what it was.
Natalie, have you seen this commercial? This Phil thing?
No, I don't think I've seen
it. You haven't seen it?
No.
Right,
but I'm reading about it now.
Yeah. I don't get it. There's a lot of things I don't get. Maybe people get it and I don't. All right. Before we get back to the phones, the opening day lineup has been announced for the Phillies.
Yeah.
Most of which I shared with Gabe when Gabe was in the booth. But then he crossed me up.
What'd he do?
He switched the 7 and 8 positions. So your Philly starting lineup is McCutchen, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Real Muto, Herrera, and then he goes for some reason Hernandez in the 7th hole, Franco in the 8th hole. Which I don't get. Because the 7th spot, traditionally the baseball lineup is an RBI slot. And the theory is, you get out the first inning, they get you out in the first inning, three up, three down, or four guys come to that bat. The third guy who hits in the second inning is in an RBI position if you get a guy on base. If you hit the guy eighth who's an RBI guy, they pitch around the guy to get to the pitcher. So why would he have Franco eighth and Hernandez seven?
Now, I don't know. I guess if you, what they would say is, he's a better hitter, so over the course of a season, he'll get X number more at-bats because he's batting seventh.
You talking about Hernandez?
Yes, that's what they would say. He's a better hitter, so over the course of a season, he'll get X number more at-bats.
They could also be thinking that he's got a decent on-base percentage, and he gets on, and then you got Franco behind him, if Hernandez gets on.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not that, but it's just, I would have gone the other way.
And he hit a home run today.
He did, in the eighth hole.
Right, but which makes more, puts more credence into your thing, because you asked me which guy's going to hit a home run, which guy's a home run hitter.
It's a small thing. I don't even want to quibble about it. Gabe and I are in lockstep, pretty much.
So you go with it for the first week?
Gabe and I are like this right now.
Very close.
Yes. Let's go to T-Love on a cell. T-Love, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. T-Love.
Hey, yo, what's up, Mike?
What's up, T-Love?
Hey, man, I'm really, all this noise, I'm standing in line at the supermarket. But listen, here's my thing, man, you know, about the coaching. Okay. Situational basketball. It seems to be a problem. It keeps coming up. End of the game, these guys, sometimes they seem like they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm.
Where's it keep coming up? I don't know. Maybe your schedule is different.
It keeps coming up.
I see. Win. I saw six wins in a row before that game. Where's it keep coming up?
Yeah, they play good ball.
I was curious to know if your schedule looked like mine.
Listen, they are good enough to beat any team out there. We've seen them beat Golden State. Uh-huh. We've seen them beat the Bucks. Uh-huh. And all that was great. But when you keep seeing the same problems, all the time, the turnover, the late game, mistakes. You know, they lost that game because they played hell. And when they fixed it, when they got it together and they had a chance to win the game, they bumbled.
Let me ask you a question. Serious. This is serious. Do you possibly think you're overreacting a bit? Because they won 9 of their last 13, and 2 of those losses were to Golden State and Houston.
Okay,
now if this is reoccurring, you would think that the record would be worse.
Listen. Overreacting is when you don't see something every day and then you complain about it. This stuff happens all the time.
But it doesn't, because I just got done telling you they won 9 of 13, and two of the losses were to great teams.
Right. What does that mean when it comes down to when the playoffs get here and you still not playing a situation?
If you're winning 9-13, you're going to advance in playoffs. How's that?
Mike,
how's that? Do the math.
How many did they win in the second round? Last year?
Last year's last year. This is a different team that won 9 of their last 13, and Mike, 2 of the losses were a great team. T-Love, you're complaining for no reason. I'm not taking it, T-Love. You're a bitcher and a moaner. You're sounding alarms that shouldn't be sounded. You gotta relax, people. It's happening again and again and again. Apparently, they're losing every other game. Scott in Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Scott?
Mike, I totally agree with you, man, about the Sixers. I mean, that loss means nothing. The third seed's locked up. But there's one thing to bother me at the end of the game. If you see that last shot by Trae Young, like, Embiid is standing right in front of him. Like, he didn't even jump or flinch to try to block his shot. He just stood there and watched him shoot.
What's the alternative? That he goes at him and fouls him? Because you know they're going to call a foul.
He blocks the shot. It was a floater.
A floater is hard to block. That's why it's a floater. It's thrown 12 feet in the air.
But he was standing literally a foot in front of him.
Do you understand what a floater is? A floater goes high. It's not a conventional shot. It's a floater.
Yeah, but you could catch it in the beginning. All right, wait, I'm not going to argue with you about
what are you, Manute Bowl?
It's fine. Well, it looks like Manute
Bowl. Taco okay. Fall? I was going to grab that.
No problem. So listen, Saturday, my wife is down with the stomach virus, so she's out for the day. So I go out, get a nice rack of ribs, watching the high school game, the Nova game, and the Sixers game at once.
You watched the high school game? It was on what Penridge?
Yeah, it was on the PCN channel.
Oh, man. Right? See, I missed it. I would have watched it. I didn't know it was on the PCN.
Right. So all three games were on at once. And I'm going to tell you something, Mike. That high school game was the best of the three.
Overtime,
It was double overtime.
Double overtime.
This big guy for Kennedy.
Yeah, he's recruited.
He's
heavily recruited, that kid.
Yeah, I think he's going to West Virginia. He's going up for a dunk to seal the game. He's going up for a dunk, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Yoder comes and blocks his dunk from nowhere.
Now, how big is
white kid?
Sean Yoder? 6'2"?
180 pounds. Came from nowhere.
Well, and that's what's amazing to me, that they were in that kind of environment, that small team from Penridge, who really, you know, they're not from a basketball hotbed. It's admirable what they did.
It is. You know what other high school team did really well, Mike? Lower Moreland did great this year. Another small school who went to the state semifinals in their division. And you know what it goes to show me, Mike, in high school? That a well-coached team can beat a much better athletic team in high school.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Why?
Occasionally it'll happen, but not all the time.
I know, but a well-coached team in high school can really go through the ranks better than just guys that
just because Penridge lost to Abington three times this year, you know? So, they finally got in there and they beat them in the playoffs and, because they weren't one of the high-seeded teams. They got on a roll, and it was great. This kid from Kennedy Academy is called Oscar. He must be, he's got to be some kind of an import. Oscar Shibiwa, Biwi, 6'9", 250. Oh, yeah, signed to West Virginia. Penn Ray, I'm sorry I missed the game, man. I would have liked to have seen it.
I had no idea it was on TV.
I mean, that's a big upset that they played for a state title. Coach Chris and Glenn Olden, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. A lot of coaches joining us today.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Coach Chris? What are you doing?
I'm good. I guess I've heard a lot about the Sixers. I've been a diehard Sixers, was there with the championship with AI. I guess my concern is this. The Sixers are having trouble beating good teams when all their players are there. I look at their seeding. If they get the three spot, they take on the Nets at the six. They've had trouble with the Nets this year. If they take
this
on the Raptors.
This is a different team. They haven't played the Nets with this team.
And I understand, but even with or without this team.
People say you understand, but you don't understand. I got done telling you a fact.
You told me a fact, but the fact is Jimmy even had trouble covering Trae Young. We don't know what Jimmy we're going to get each day. We don't know what's happened. They're picking out our weak link. So they're picking out JJ.
What Jimmy did you get against Milwaukee and Boston?
We get a closing Jimmy, but we don't get Jimmy playing defense constantly all the time. We don't get it all the time. We don't know what Jimmy we're going to get all the time. We get a guy in the fourth quarter. Yeah, that's part of why we brought him here. We don't get the defensive guy.
You know, the statistic that they're not good against good teams is bogus because their team now has been a recent development.
But I understand. But here's
you don't understand.
I do, Mike. I've been following basketball.
You don't understand. You referred to something that happened before they put this team together.
But hear me out. If they get past the Nets or even the Celtics, they just beat the Celtics with that team that they formed, correct. But they have to beat Toronto at full strength. They're going to have to beat the Warriors if they get to the Warriors. The problem that they're going to have is they're going to have to beat these guys at full strength, and they're picking out our weaknesses.
They're not going to beat the Warriors, okay? All right? Yeah. They're not going to lose to the Nets or Detroit in the first round. They have to beat Toronto. You saw them match up against Milwaukee, which was pretty good. What exactly are you worried about?
I'm worried about our defense. We are getting crushed on defense against just about everybody, letting up close to 120 to 130 points a
game. They won six in a row.
I get it. They won six in a row, but who really is when they face?
Where have they given up 130 points? Where?
Just
the other day against Atlanta.
They gave up one game. They gave up 129. That was it.
You honestly think the Sixers are a good defense? They can't play the pick and roll defense.
They gave up 115 to Boston, 114 to Charlotte, 125 to a high-scoring Milwaukee team, 114 to Sacramento, 99 to Cleveland, 89 to Indiana, 91 to Houston. Where are they giving up 130 points?
Indiana's not good. They're horrible.
You got an answer for, you know. You people are making me crazy. Honest to God. It's just bitch, because they lost one stinking game to the Atlanta Hawks. I just don't understand. Well, do you know what the record is against good teams? Yeah, I do, but it doesn't apply. And it doesn't apply because they just put this team together. Would they have lost all those games if this current Sixer team was playing in all those games? Would they have lost to the Nets? You actually think they can lose to the Nets with this Sixer team, with Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler and Simmons and Tobias Harris and J.J. Redick? You actually think they will lose a first-round playoff series? Seriously. All right, that's good. Angelica. Hello, Angelica.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Angelica. Oh, Angelica. How you doing, Angelica?
Good. I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
My boss was here recently, and she showed me your picture, and you haven't been here since for a haircut.
Where are we talking about?
Sports Club.
Oh, that was a long time ago. Collegeville's a road trip for me. I have to take an airplane to get there.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that's
I don't live around there, Angelica. Yeah, I was in there a couple times, actually.
Oh.
Well, but it was too much of a road trip. I'm a convenience guy. Like, I get the shortest possible distance between my home and where I have to get done. I apologize for that, because I'd love to stop in and say hello.
Yeah, we watch you all the time up here.
I appreciate that. You got the show on it? Sports Clips?
Right now, yes.
Very nice, Angelica. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Now, what do you want to say about the Sixers? Make some sense for me today.
I love the Sixers, but I'm scared to play Golden State.
Well, who isn't? They're not going to beat Golden State. So you got to go in there saying, all right, they're not going to win the championship. But at least if they play for it, that's great.
Yeah.
Right? Next year.
Yeah, right.
Next year they beat the Warriors. Not this year.
This year we focus on the East.
No, not this year. You got to be realistic, because they're not good enough to beat the Warriors this year. Next year, maybe. All right, Angelica. Thank you for checking in.
Do they want you to come back and get a haircut?
Come back and get a haircut.
Oh.
You know me, I'm a convenience man.
Yeah, well, Collegeville's far.
Yeah, from where I am.
For a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe so, next time you're in the area.
Whole Foods is a block away from where I go.
Yeah.
It's too far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not like Martinez, who lives in, Cole County, Pennsylvania, and commutes here. And revealed today, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I'm Penn State proud too, right? They won Penn State won the wrestling championship. They do it almost every year.
Again, yeah.
Right? But you're talking about the Sixers being on, the NCAA tournament being on. He admits to watching the NCAA wrestling championships on his phone with all that stuff going on.
What?
No, seriously. See, it's just the country dude. You know, country dudes are different.
He's from Malvern. He's not from the country.
He's from Westchester country. You know, he went to Malvern for like 3 seconds.
Okay.
He's from the
boondocks of Westchester.
From the log cabin regions of Chester County.
I can't relate.
What?
I said, no. I can't relate myself.
No, of course you can't. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Can't go to the bathroom.
Not for that long.
Well,
yeah, that was a long trip.
A cup of coffee worth. What do you want from me? I apologize, man. How long did you play the music?
I had to play it all the way out and then start another
one. You did?
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's all right. We're back now. That's all that matters.
Let's get back to the phone, Seth. Let's go. It's time for a Twitter poll. It is 3:30, so Natalie's ready. We have two Twitter polls working.
Three.
In order not to be sexist, we included a man and a woman.
Yes.
So the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. I actually forgot a name on the list. I'm going to have to add it. But go ahead, Natalie. What are the Twitter poll updates?
Okay, so the first one has over 1,700 votes. Do you like seeing the lower seeds advance in the NCAA tournament? 85% say yes, it's fun. 15% says no, it's fraudulent. And then the second poll is Dude Poll. Over 964 votes on Dude Poll. 26% say Kristen Ledlow, 30% Candace Parker, 44% Allie LaForce.
All right. Now,
to counter the Dude Poll, we went with Jay Wright, Wally Zerbiak.
Oh, Wally Zerbiak gets in there.
And Grant Hill.
Nice.
Yeah. So 80% going Jay Wright, 9% Wally Zerbiak, and 11% Grant Hill.
Poor Jay Wright, man. That Lowe's commercial had a short shelf life, didn't it?
I did see that one.
It's still running.
My man cashing in. A couple years ago, it was Dial Soap.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the Dial
Lowe's
Soap commercial.
With the guy with the hedge clipper.
Yeah.
And he's analyzing. Good commercial. Good idea. Seeing they could win another game.
They can still run it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's
a well-known coach by now.
Yeah.
All right, so you put Wally Zerbiak in there. You a Wally Zerbiak fan now?
He's handsome.
He's very handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
he's got the square jaw.
So tell him, Ty.
We did find out, looking at this, though, that how wildly sexist this whole situation is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For the women to be on TV, they have to be so attractive in addition to knowing things. The men, most of them are hideous looking.
Slim pickings for this
very
poll.
Very slim pickings to find attractive males for this poll.
Yeah.
Very terrible.
How do you think that makes us feel?
Yeah.
Mike, as great women.
If a woman looked like some of these men, she would not be near the camera. They wouldn't let her hold the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
It was just an observation, like, whoa, not him. Oh, not him. Ugh, can't put him on the list.
Ty goes, wow, Nat, this is really sexist. I'm like, yeah, that's the way of the world.
Yeah, we can't ask a girl.
Probably as long as males are in charge of networks.
That too. Well, but there
has a lot to do with it.
Well, then there and then lies, again, the problem.
It was just uncomfortable seeing how many unattractive men were on TV versus how few unattractive women are on TV. So it was like, whoa.
And women like to look at, you know, attractive men.
It goes both ways. Women like to look at attractive men. Men like to look at attractive women.
But it doesn't matter that a male's unattractive.
But here's the thing about the women that are attractive aren't not good at their job.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, I'm saying
they're
both.
All really good at their job.
Yeah, I'm saying you have to be both.
Yeah. Right.
With the man, you can have one.
Yeah. You could be a little...
You can be troll-like. You have to charge on a troll toll. You still get on TV.
Like Casey Stern.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
you have to pay the troll toll, and yet you're still on TV.
I actually neglected to put Maria Taylor on that list.
Yeah, we can't add her.
You can't edit the polls.
Yeah, you have to do.
She's in stunning.
Yes, and she's her fame is exploding each year.
Right? Yeah, bigger, she's great.
Bigger, and she's really, really good.
Yep,
she is. Different looking because look how tall she is.
Yeah,
she doesn't look like everybody else.
She's about 6'2", isn't she?
Yeah, she's 6'2".
Yeah.
Supermodel.
All right, Movie Mike on a cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Movie Mike.
Look who's here. Look who's here.
Movie Mike.
What's going on?
What's happening, Movie Mike?
But first of all, Mike, I wanted to point out that I wanted to disagree with your assessment of Triple Frontier. You made a comment. You thought that it was
horrible.
Actually not good.
Horrible movie.
Well, I happen to disagree with you entirely.
Oh, my God. Movie Mike, I don't know what you saw in that movie. It was a horrible script.
Basically, I like the fact that they were special operatives and they used their skills that when they were in the military to go ahead and, you know, on a mission to rob, I guess, what was it, a drug deal?
And their mission was so bad, they didn't bring back $1.
Well,
I know what special ops they were. They were the bottom of the rung in special ops, apparently.
They would have been dead early on if they were the bottom of the rung.
That movie sucked.
But I thought it was good.
Go ahead.
Now, with regards to the commercial, that's AT&T.
Yeah, Phil.
And they got a new thing going on. AT&T would like to remind you that just okay coverage is not okay. That's what they're saying. Just okay. And the guy is portrayed as being just okay. And that's what their whole shtick is.
I don't get it. I think it's stupid. I don't understand how a brilliant ad man can be sitting around a boardroom and that's what they come up with.
Well, I want to also point out, and I hope I'm not getting too serious, but it's another use of the dumb white guy in commercials. When they need a dumb guy, an idiot, a moron, they will get the white guy to portray that.
Come on. All right. Whatever.
Well, it's true. I mean, it gets annoying after a while.
What do you think, Tyrone? Is the white man being picked on for his dumbness?
Yep, it's a tough world out there for you. I understand, Movie Mike. It's hard for you out there. Like, how are you making a living? How are you surviving? It's so hard. I feel bad for you.
Oh, that damn dumb white guy.
You know what's funny is Movie Mike really thinks that a white guy didn't make that decision. it was me who decided that. Yeah, sure, Mike.
But it was a black person conspiracy.
Yeah, it was all of us.
To make white people look dumb.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the ad company wasn't. Nah,
let me tell you how bad Triple Frontier was.
Well, how bad?
Triple Frontier was so bad that that Ben Affleck had no part in it being bad. That's how bad it was. Like, on its face, it's bad without Ben Affleck being involved in it.
So, wow. Whoa.
That's how bad
it was. I assumed that Affleck was part of why it was bad.
No. He had no part in it being bad. It was just that bad.
So if you swapped out him and DiCaprio, still a bad movie?
Horrible.
Oh, man. I have to watch
it's horrible.
Oh, wow.
I want to watch
now,
that.
Now, he didn't help it. Don't get me wrong.
No. I'm going to watch it tonight.
He died early, fortunately.
Well, hey.
I'm writing the script. He's out in the first 10 minutes.
Hey.
Spoilers,
don't even see it.
No, I'm watching it. Well, now I'm not going to bother.
He dies late. It's not like he dies in the middle of a movie.
Oh, no.
He dies for a good reason.
I don't need to know that he died. Stop.
Enough.
You're like a volcano spoiler.
Want Ben Affleck dead. I need him dead.
Oh, no.
Ron in Southwest Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
Hey, what's going on?
Sorry. What's going on, Ron?
Not much, man. I hate to change the subject, man. I had me rolling real quick. I think with people calling in about the Sixers, it's not that we're losing a lot of games. It's just that the way we be losing these games, it always goes back to what we've been seeing like the last 2 years in the season. Just weird play design at the end of the game. B sitting at the corner. We playing the Bucks, or no? We playing the Celtics, and I get it. Jimmy Butler taking over the fourth quarter, but if Joel Embiid got 30 something points, you don't have that man sitting in the corner, just not being used at all. So it's like when we see late game losses, like we don't lose no other way.
Bro, can I read the schedule to you? Can I read this?
No.
I'm looking at it. Let's look at it together. Win.
No. Loss. I get this. But the way
I get this. You don't get it at all. That's why it doesn't matter Saturday's game.
Bro, I'm not.
Because they haven't been losing games the way you just described.
Because we've been winning lately. But when we do lose, it's because of weird stuff.
But everybody loses.
And I get that everybody loses. But all the other teams that you named, the Warriors, the Celtics, they got a little bit more cred.
They do? How come they're behind the Sixers?
Bro.
How come Boston, if Boston is so great, how come Boston's the fifth seed?
They've been going there with LeBron the last 6 years. They got a proven coach. We don't have a proven coach. When we went up against a coach, we folded in the fourth quarter every game. So when we lose these games in the clutch, people get worried because they're seeing the same stuff they seen last year, even though we got more.
Brad Stevens lost the other night in the clutch. I guess he stinks as a coach.
That's all I'm saying, bro.
You're just picking on something, man, because you want to pick on something.
I like Brett Brown. I want him to do good. I like the team. I think
they won six of their last seven, bro.
I know that. No, I'm talking for the other people that called in that you were snapping on about this last.
Well, apparently you don't. See, this is the thing. I know that. I hear you. You don't hear me. And you don't know that. And you don't understand. Because this notion, this narrative you create, oh, we keep losing games like this, is not true. They won 9 of their last 13 with 2 of the losses coming against the top teams in the league. Tyrone, can you take over?
No, I can't do that, man.
4 o'clock.
I mean, in theory, but no. The advertisers will be mad.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they will. If you record,
I'm only going to get angrier and angrier. Seriously, and more unsettled.
And now,
Nat, can you help me out?
Sure.
That last caller, by the way, is rooting for Orlando tonight so that he can call and go, see, I told you, Mike. That's what they now root against the Sixers for these times just so they can be right rather than rooting for the team. That's what's happening now.
How about the way they win games? Like the way they beat Milwaukee and the way they beat Boston? How about that?
Nah, it didn't count.
They don't count?
Didn't happen.
I get that, but no, you don't get that. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, let's try to straighten this whole Sixer thing out with numbers. A lot of people say, well, how many relevant teams have they beat since this team has been put together? Well, the team in earnest was put together with one day of practice when they played Denver on Friday, February 8th. They won that game. Second seed in the East they beat with a skeleton lineup that hadn't played together. Since then, they went 13-6 with this new lineup. With Embiid missing, 9 of those games?
Yes.
Missing 9 of those games, they went 13. Now, who did they beat? They beat Denver. They beat OKC. They beat Indiana. You want to count Sacramento? Fine. Milwaukee, Charlotte without Embiid, and Boston. They lost to Portland. They lost to the Bulls in Atlanta, were bad losses. They also lost to the Warriors, and they lost to the Houston Rockets.
Now, the Rockets, the Warriors, and the Trailblazers lost, all without Embiid.
Right. Now, you would think of beating Denver, OKC, Indiana, Sacramento, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Boston, without Embiid, were pretty significant wins.
They were.
Right?
Yes.
So this notion, they don't beat anybody with this team, is just faulty. The record against teams, the old record was, yeah. But the new record, I'm just showing you here who they've beaten. And we don't take inventory of this for some reason. Are they complete? No, they're not complete. Do they have flaws? Yeah. Are the coaching mistakes? Yes, there are. But one game against Atlanta on a Saturday night should not erase the advancements they have made, especially with winning 6 in a row and 2 of the monster wins, 3 actually, with Indiana, that define what they're about. Vince in Old City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vince.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Vince?
I'm not too worried about this Atlanta loss. They start a little road trip, but what does concern me tonight is this line on that Magic game going from 3 down to only like 1.5 now.
Yeah, it's a weird line.
Does it scream a little fishy to you?
It screams Orlando, but I can't imagine they're going to lose 2 straight like this.
That's what I think, too. But yeah. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
No, it's a scary line. It really is. I mean, Orlando is playing technically still for a playoff spot. I guess they're figuring that the Sixers have locked up the third spot, and they did not play well against Atlanta. But I would think that they would snap back after that loss to Atlanta and play really well tonight.
I agree. I would hope so. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
All right, Vince. You're reading the line right. It's a fishy line. Ed in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Listen, I agree with you. When you started that 3 o'clock hour and said you were there for the Sixers fans, I said, uh-oh, this is going to get ugly.
People have their own perceptions that are inaccurate.
No, I did it a week ago, and I caught myself after listening to you. Everybody needs to relax. It's just how the end of the season goes. The playoffs are coming. We're in. And everybody is just ramped up to super nervous or something.
Because there are two losses in here that people can't understand. The one was at Chicago, which was a terrible loss. I agree. And then at Atlanta Saturday. But people put too much emphasis on those two things instead of what the body of work has shown over the last several weeks.
My guys watched a March Madness. I wasn't even concerned with the Sixers on Saturday.
Well, I was, but obviously I'm invested in the Sixers, and I'm invested in both, but you're flipping back and forth. I get it.
But the one and done of the March Madness kind of takes over against a game against Atlanta.
You know what it is with NBA teams that are better than the other team? They go, we'll eventually win this game. We'll eventually win this game. We'll eventually win this game. And then all of a sudden you look up and there's only 3 minutes left and you're in a dogfight and then you make mistakes.
That's the mentality. Doesn't even care about the regular season.
That's what I mean. The mentality of a team that knows it's better than the other team sometimes gets tweaked.
Yeah, and just to close, I had no problem with Izzo at all. But, having watched all the way back to Magic, I had no problem whatsoever with what Tom Izzo did. And I don't think his former players did either.
No, because Tom Izzo is probably one of these coaches that you like more when you leave him because he's in your shorts all the time. And he's a tough, heavy-handed coach. But I don't know. I thought that was a bunch of to-do about nothing. Now, if he put his hands on the guy, it's different.
Yeah.
He was close. He went after the guy. And somebody stopped him or he stopped himself. Right? He's competitive. He's in the moment. They're trying to win a game.
Yeah, as long as
you can't be Mr. Civil all the time.
Right, as long as it works, it's good. As long as it works, and they won the game, right?
Consistently, his programs are really good. I don't like the guy a little bit.
No, I think he's a jerk. Yeah, I agree with you.
Honest with you. He's like right in there at the, well, not Saban is just another level of hate for me, but Izzo's not a guy I like a lot.
What's funny is Saban, though, has actually softened. He still yells at his guys, but afterwards, he actually does apologize to the guys, which is weird.
I don't care how he coaches. I just think he's a miserable human being.
Oh, he does, and he disrespects the media, which disrespects the fans.
610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hours ahead. Jake Arrieta's the line today. 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts. All right, that's good. The Phillies pitchers been getting a lot of strikeouts. Back after this, 4 o'clock hour right ahead on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.